When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
Welcome back, everybody, to Porch Talk. Jack Browning, Colt Montgomery, Austin Cherry, Cameron Allen. How's it going, boys?
Doing good.
Doing pretty good.
Pretty solid.
I'm glad it warmed up today, for sure, because
it's
been a little yucky the last couple of days.
Mm-hmm. Rain came, knocked things off, 25, 30 degrees?
Yes.
Yeah, I remember, I think it was a Tuesday, I woke up. Went to work, didn't bring a jacket, it was warm outside. By lunchtime, man, I was regretting that, man.
For whatever reason, the night before, I had just looked, because I was like, there ain't no way winter's over. It's not Easter yet.
Yeah.
And I was like, I wonder when the next cold snap's going to be, because I had started taking all my winter stuff out of my truck. And I looked, and it's like, it's going to drop 30 degrees the next day, and I was like, there it is.
Yeah. That's what the experts have been saying, is that we have something maybe not quite as bad, but like we had in January, where it's about that cold. So, we're going to have one more of those, I guess, before it warms up.
My grandma always said every time it rains in February, it's supposed to snow in March. I don't know how much of an expert she is, but...
Calling out a cut down. That's probably some of that former almanac.
Yeah. She's and, like 100.
I'm probably with that.
She's like 100.
Yeah, yeah, that's that wisdom from the earth, man.
Oh, yeah. They didn't have a wind turn. She felt it in her bones.
When my knees ache, I know it's about to rain.
Yeah.
that's James Spann, you know.
Yeah. I didn't think we'd start here, but that's fun. The only profession where it's okay to be wrong all the time.
Yeah. They're definitely wrong. I got to be wrong more than they're right, wouldn't you think?
Oh, definitely, dude. I'm saying, like, even James Spann, our beloved meteorologist, not right all the time. But I do know sport jacket come off.
Yeah.
And then, like, he's rolling up his sleeves. If the suspenders come off and the dude is, like, just in a shirt and underwear, yeah. If you are not on in a bunker,
yep.
You are in deep trouble.
He's going into Jordan game six mode, and it's like... Yep. Y'all better hunker down.
There's gotta have it moments, man.
They were talking about this on the radio the other day. Like, what's the point of a 7-day forecast? Because it's like, you can't tell another 7 days out. You can make an educated guess.
Well, I mean, think about this. It's like, started planning Porch Fest 6 months ago. It's an outside event.
Mm-hmm.
And you have no idea what the weather is until the day before, practically.
Yeah.
Yeah, April such a crap.
You get a decent little idea the week before, but you really don't know until the day before.
And then what happens, like, when it's rain? It's like, do we go buy a bunch of tents and just try to keep everybody undercover, or do we change the venue? Like,
especially in April. It's a coin toss.
Oh, dude, Shake It Like a Caveman. He's out of Chattanooga. Yeah. He's a one-man band, funk band. And the first year, this is when I was still throwing at my house.
Mm-hmm.
He came down, and it was April. Exactly like what you're saying, Cameron, is the weather was perfect all day. People had been playing. The sun's going down. The wind picks up, and the temperature drops to, like, I don't know, like, earlier this week, 25, 30 degrees. And everybody, like, I've thrown out all the blankets in the house. Everybody outside is, like, bundled up in something. And he's out there trying to play, like, and this porch is elevated. And it's like, you're eating every bit of that wind. He gets through that set, and I'm like, oh, brother, I'll never do that again, to you again. I am sorry about that. He's like, it's just part of it. But I'm happy that he's coming back to play Porch Fest again. I'm hoping to... He doesn't bring weather with him again.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you never know.
No, it's you try to pick the best time of year for temperature, a good time of year for temperature, but you never know what the rain's going to do.
It's tricky like that with outside shows. I remember, like the last show I ever played, like last like full band show, I was in Meridian, and I wore like this billowy shirt. This very like thin shirt,
mm-hmm.
and it was warm earlier in the day. We got there, it temperature dropped to like 30 degrees, and I'm up there singing, freezing my little ass off. I'm like, weigh probably 50 pounds less than I do now. I'm just over there shivering while I'm singing.
The show must go on.
Show must go on. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The worst show that I ever played, it was for a wedding, and we were doing the wedding march, and. They wanted, it's a Taking Back Sunday song. Mm-hmm. Instead of like anything traditional, they were doing, it's a long distance relationship song about the relationship not working. And when I explained that to the wife, I was like, you want to walk the aisle to a song like this? I just love the music. I was like, you ever listen to the words?
Yeah.
It's like
not a good omen.
And I'm 21st century breakup or something like that was the name of it. That's not it. We'd have to look it up, which is not hard to do, but not doing it. Show must go on. But I had someone ask this past Friday night. Milky White was playing, and. Lady come up and she's like, does this cold weather ever mess with you as a musician? I was like, it depends on what you're doing. If it's drums, I have no idea. I think those guys probably run a whole lot hotter than everybody else.
Yeah.
But I was like, I know anybody who's playing strings, if it is cold enough, those strings, they feel like wires.
I'd have to imagine that's rough.
Your hands are freezing.
But your fingers like cramp up.
Yeah.
If you're not moving enough, you will freeze up. Mm-hmm. You just gotta keep moving.
Yeah, and then she's like, well, what about with your voice? And like, what you're talking about? I've never sung to where it was so cold to where I was like shivering, and I was like, we're about to have a lot of vibrato on the voice. You know, I couldn't imagine that. I played in bad cold to where like, I can't wait till this is over. I feel like the string is like digging at my very bone, you know, but
yes, sir.
Never that.
Like you pluck and you just feel it reverberate through your body.
Yeah.
I feel like it's worse playing guitar in the cold than singing in the cold.
Man, I played mandolin in the cold.
Oh God.
That's so cold. That sucked.
Reminds me of like early this time of year going out there and playing baseball right now.
Yeah.
You hit it on the wrong end of the bat. You know, you get a little too far out in front of it. You know, that's a pain.
That jar.
That's a pain in the cold weather. Mm-hmm. When it rattles off your bat the wrong way, you know.
Well, man, that is one thing I miss. I'm always happy about this time of year with baseball. Dude, there is not a sound in the world like that aluminum bat.
Mm-hmm.
Ding!
It's beautiful.
Especially when you get a hold of it.
It's beautiful.
Okay. And like the moment you hear it, I mean, it's almost the same with a wood bat, but like the moment you hear like that baseball make great contact on that aluminum, you don't even have to look.
No, that's gone. That's
go ahead and round them up.
I don't think there's a sport out there.
Walk around.
like baseball to where going to a baseball game adds so much to the experience as opposed to watching it at home.
You can't watch it at home.
Yeah, it's tough.
Never been to a baseball game.
You know,
game.
Going to a football game is it's cool, and going to a basketball game is cool, but it's not like it's, to me, that much, it makes it that much better than watching it on the couch.
To where I'm at, like, whether it's, and I haven't been to an NFL game yet. I want to go. Hopefully this coming season will be my first of many. But I've been to a lot of college games. I've been to Bryant Denny, been to Davis Wade, and been to another, I'm blanking on it. But anyway, it's gotten to a point now to where that whole experience is just as good, like just like this, mm-hmm. is invite some of the boys over, we'll cook, and we'll just...
Wait a minute, why'd you point at me?
Well, you talked about cooking earlier. You said
you are the one.
You look cook. Like the pit master.
I do, but
I was trying to give you some props.
I feel targeted.
You are targeted.
I'm a good 100 pounds heavier than everyone at this table. I feel targeted.
It's not that, you just look like you can cook. It's not, I mean,
it can
and,
cook.
And yeah, looking about it, buddy.
But like you said, if you got a good, like, especially if you got a good surround sound system or something, you know?
Yeah, and I've had just as much fun, like, with the boys at the house than I have at the stadium.
Yeah, you got to wait 20 minutes to go pee.
Honestly, I've had more fun in most cases.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You got to wait to pay $15 for a hot dog, or you know.
You gotta get yelled at for standing up.
Man,
it's funny, man, because you know, I've always enjoyed watching sports, and I've always had an appreciation. But like, my dad was talking to me the other day. He was like, "I knew it wasn't gonna be your thing from a young age," and I was like, "What do you mean?" He goes, "Well, you were 5 years old. You were playing t-ball, and when it wasn't your turn to play, you were pacing back and forth." I'm like, yeah.
He's over there inside your
head. I'm just over there like,
I can't wait to get out of this motherfucker.
For real, I was thinking about going home and watching SpongeBob.
Sports weren't really my thing either. I didn't really like I played football in middle field, or middle school. I played football in middle school. And I wasn't really too much of a violent person. So I just didn't really find that much enjoyment in it, and I'd rather be home, like, smoking weed, playing video games.
Yeah.
I beat Skyrim, like, 10 times, though.
That is something.
Man, after my own heart.
Yeah. I mean, I got, like, 1,000 hours into it.
Hell yeah.
I got fucking Dragon Ring tattooed on, or Dragon Aspect tattooed on my left arm. I'm about it.
I'm with it, man.
You know, I will say, backtracking to the venue point.
Yeah.
For football. I've been to a couple of night games at Bryant Denny, and then...
It is electric.
It's electric, and then I've been to a night game at Egg Bowl and Davis Wade, when you got 20, you know, what, 70,000 cowbells in your ear? Mm-hmm. It's crazy. But going to an NFL game, I went to Steelers-Saints game in New Orleans. It's nothing like I've ever experienced in my life.
I think that's the power of the crowd.
Packed out Superdome is just crazy.
I think it's tougher to comprehend if you've never been to one. I've never been to one. But, you know, also because we're not close to, extremely close to any NFL teams or any pro sports teams, really.
I mean, New Orleans or Atlanta, you know.
Yeah.
Or
but you're
Nashville.
All of them are 4 hours away, 5 hours away, so.
Yeah. You're a good road trip away as we're up there, you know. Yeah. They're closer together, you know. But I've always wanted to go to one. But
that's one thing I am jealous of the North. You can take like an hour drive and be in an NFL stadium, like either direction.
Oh, just think about if you were like in the Northeast, dude. Like if you, let's just say you lived in Pennsylvania.
Yeah. You're like, New York, you can see the Jets and the Giants in like within an hour of each other.
Well, dude, I mean, just being in that vicinity, I mean, you were.
And the Bills.
Yeah, you're an hour and a half, 2 hours away from like most things you always grew up watching on TV.
Yeah, that's true.
I grew up, I'm a Pittsburgh Steelers fan. I got family in Pittsburgh. I've seen Heinz Stadium with my own two eyes. It's an amazing venue. I've seen where the Penguins play. I love it up there.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah, Penguins, dude, hockey.
The Penguins, baby. About the Pens.
Oh, that is the first time I went to a hockey game. I went to go watch the Alabama Frozen Tide.
Yep.
Really?
They play in Pelham.
Okay.
They don't even play in Tuscaloosa. And they were playing Tennessee. And I was like, I've got to go to pro games. I've got to do more of this. But like on that college level, you had the option of way away from the game, not even curious about the puck. You got two guys just beating the ever-living dog shit out of each other. Yeah. And then over here, there's people actually playing the game.
Right. I've always wanted to go to a hockey game.
Yeah, oh, dude, it's awesome. Yeah.
I imagine it was electric. Like going to Canada and watching a hockey game?
Yeah.
Bruh. That's that real shit.
I want to see.
I didn't even know Alabama had a hockey team.
Yeah, I mean Florida does. Oddly enough, Florida is like typically the best in the SEC when it comes to hockey. Oddly enough,
that's insane.
And I bet they don't really get that much ice time.
Man, good at something.
I really want to see a rugby game in real life too.
Rugby is insane.
Rugby's fucking crazy.
I like, of all the things, like I've seen, and I did it as a joke. It was much like going to a LARPing event. I like Quidditch. Like I've seen that, and I was like, "Well, Quidditch. We just have LARPers out here that are Harry Potter."
What, they have like Quidditch tournaments, like, but they just like hop around on the broom.
That's exactly what you think.
That's so underwhelming.
Yeah,
you watch Harry Potter, like, man, I'm gonna go to a Quidditch game, and these people like over here like saddling a broom, just
yes,
hopping around.
I'm like.
And very pretentious about the rules.
Oh, really?
No.
He caught the snitch!
His broom went between his legs.
You ever seen like the ghetto Harry Potter videos? And he's like all like a Dollar General broom, like hopping around.
Yeah.
Well, this dude's confused. He brought a mop.
I've had a cadaver of blood. He brought a mop.
Dude, when I lived down in Mobile, like the closest park. I would go out there on Saturday afternoons. We used to go play disc golf out there. Well, I quit playing disc golf. I just started going to the park because they would LARP. And you,
where is that at? Where is that at?
Kind of chill park down in Mobile.
Oh, really?
And
Mobile's a cool city.
It is.
I've only been there a couple times, but it's a cool city. I really like the architectural in downtown. It's a cool city.
Yeah, dude. It's got that New Orleans vibe to it.
Yeah.
That's it's a little nicer, a little more family friendly.
Yeah. Yeah. Really good music scene there.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It's on the come up.
Yeah, and I really like going to see the Battleship. I've seen it like 4 times, but I like going in there.
You are a history buff.
Yeah. Well, when I was in, I think I was like 12, I was in the Boy Scouts. We got to spend the night on it. It was so cool. We got to go out on the deck and play with the AA guns and stuff. It was so cool.
Whoa. My man. I've never done anything like that. I've been by it, of course, and I've been out there. I don't know if I've ever been in it.
Did you go check it out?
I worked at Ingalls, like, where they make battleships.
Oh, yeah, like the shipyard next door. And I think they make ships in Pascagoula, too.
That's Ingalls, yeah. You're talking Austell is in Mobile.
Oh, okay. I knew they had, like, a shipyard, like a mile down the shore. But yeah, in Pascagoula they make ships too. But it was just really cool. Like during the day and stuff, normal people can go in and they have displays of like uniforms the crew would wear and like different plaques with information and stuff on it.
Mm-hmm. That working at Ingalls, and people will put some respect on that too. And that was as close to, like, there was never any part of me that had any interest in joining any armed forces mm-hmm. or serving in any capacity. Right. I've had family members in all different branches, a lot of respect.
Yeah,
but like when I was out there working at Ingalls, and like we saw a finished destroyer, and we were working on a destroyer when I left, and that was about as patriotic as I've ever felt. Yeah. It's like, well, I had my hands on something that can kill the shit out of a lot of people.
Yeah. It was interesting. They really don't make destroyers anymore.
Right,
it's more like cruisers. Mm-hmm. Like,
well, that's Austin is all they do is cruisers, and then Ingalls they'll do your destroyers or even like what's the aircraft carriers, and the bigger ships.
Yeah, because that's like mostly like what they center their navy around is like carrier strike groups, and it's like one main carrier and some cruisers and some frigates and stuff. But that has more military might than most countries. Just that. And I think America has like 16 carrier strike groups. Mm-hmm. Fucking crazy. Yeah. The next country down, I think, is Russia, and they only have two.
Yeah. Don't fuck with our boats. Don't fuck with our boats.
That's how World War I started, World War II.
Don't fuck with our boats.
I can't remember the name of the war, but like in the early or late 1800s, like some pirates in Africa messed with our boats. We went and fucked their shit up. But just don't mess with America's boats.
Man, we could have a cyber attack like last week.
Oh my god!
You touch our boats, bro. That's it.
Oh, I hopped on the social media. Like everything on Twitter was like fine.
Ain't Twitter a blessing?
Or X? Sorry,
well, X, whatever.
Yeah, it's Twitter.
I love X.
Yeah, it's my favorite app. Like I'll spend most of my time on that, and I don't even have to tweet. I'm just observing the madness,
pondering.
Yeah, and then I hop on Facebook, and it's like, I thought conspiracy was bad over there. And then, like, you hop on Facebook and you got, like, your aunt, someone you know personally, is like, the damn Chinese spy balloon knocked out of the cell service. I was like, what the heck? That's coming out of left field there.
Aunt Bertha?
Yeah.
For me, it's like, Claudel. You get on Twitter for a while and you go down those rabbit holes and learn all this stuff mm-hmm. and get and educate. Then the first thing you see, you hop on Facebook. In my case, it's, hey, my Aunt Carol lost her dog. Post a picture of the dog. Go help find the dog. You know what I mean?
I feel like Twitter is like where you could go and detach from like your local world, like your family members, and learn about the real world out there.
I have, man. Like when someone like I know personally, like from this area, finds me on Twitter and hits the follow, I will block them. I was like, we're not doing the local thing here. I was like, no.
Yeah. This isn't what we're here for.
Yeah, this I'm for the national.
It's like the group chat gets out.
The local
don't look
shit
what
on
I
Facebook.
Follow on Twitter.
Yeah.
Local shit on Facebook is crazy though. I just recently followed the Columbus What's Going On page.
Oh shit.
It's lit.
It's cringe and it's lit at the same time. I mean, people just, it's mostly people complaining about bullshit.
Yeah. Pothole messed up my tire.
Yeah.
Hell, if you join the Caledonia like watch page or whatever, they're just like bitching about the carpool line. I swear. Put that little motherfucker on the bus.
I swear, put him on the school bus.
I never got carpooled to school and I turned out fine.
It'll toughen you up.
Take the bus, you'll see some shit.
It's Caledonia, you can't see that much shit.
Yeah.
I saw somebody's wiener on the bus a couple times, but you know, poor girl.
Whoa, we're boys.
I got one of them too.
I got really close to seeing some titties too, so it kind of evens out.
I never saw either of those on a bus.
You wasn't riding the right bus.
I mean, some crazy shit happened, but I never saw either of those.
Because like when I was going to Caledonia, I had like a great bus for probably like 7 years straight. And then my mom moved to like a nicer neighborhood, and I got on a way lamer bus.
I swear, that's how it went, dude. I kind of went through that thing too, where
it does go by class.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Because the elephant bus like comes through here, and the giraffe is like the next section of Highway 12, and that's what I was on, was the giraffe bus. So we were going through like some of them lower end neighborhoods, and I lived in a trailer park up here on 12, and it was the fucking best bus ever.
Those are always the best ones. See, yeah. One of the last bus I rode on,
and I got the little seat.
The last bus I rode on, and we took the route. we went over to around where Bullets and shit is.
Oh yeah.
So it's like there's nice houses, but there's also
Cypress Park.
It's Cypress Park
in the ghetto.
We went through there.
Oh, Elvis Presley. That's Elvis Presley's song.
Yeah.
Well, in like, the ghetto.
Really? Yeah.
You did it to the perfect cadence.
I thought it was on. I'm talking about like on South Park. Like
that's where it came from.
Is that really?
It's Elvis song. In the ghetto.
That's a little racist.
Well, I mean, if you listen to what he was saying, not so much, but
yeah, the South Park version is kind of
yeah.
On a dreary Chicago morning or whatever it says.
It was a weird bus experience though, because we had like rich kids and then ghetto kids on the same bus. But then, you know, they'd talk shit to each other. The rich kids would be like, "Man, I wish I lived in a trailer park. Y'all seem like y'all have a good community going on." And
dude, it was fun.
But then the people that live in the trailer park would be like, "Fuck you, dude. No, you don't. I wish I lived in your big fucking mansion."
I don't know about that, because I don't know what trailer park they lived in.
It wasn't one you would have wanted to live in.
Ah, well, the one I lived in was cool. Because I've lived in some, I didn't even want to talk to my neighbors. They look sketchy as hell.
For real.
And then others I lived in, it's been like pretty cool. Now, my neighbor, I'm pretty sure, was cooking meth, but I didn't talk to him, so I skipped the trailer down, and the guy next door to him was pretty cool. I remember one night, and my mom would like go out to someone's house in the trailer park whatever night of the week and just get drunk at their house. And it was perfect because she could just walk back home. She didn't have to drive or nothing. And I was like over at his house and they were inside drinking. And I'm just out there talking to him. And he's like cooking chicken or something. And he's like, "Boy, watch my chicken. I got to go do something.
I got to get in or something."
Yeah. And I cooked it like the whole thing. That's the first time I ever like grilled chicken. I don't remember who it was. I think it was Mr. Dave. I think that's who it was. But I thank him.
Shout out Mr. Dave.
For my entire lineage of cooking chicken. He's probably dead by now. Because he was like 60 or 70. And I was probably like 12. And he was a heavy drinker.
Watch this chicken, boy.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, watch this chicken for me, boy. I gotta do something real quick.
Never came back.
Maybe he went like two trailers down and got into Miss Nancy. You never know.
I gotta get in or something. I mean, that's true. I did some bus riding when I went to South Lamar, and the bus I predominantly rode to my grandparents' house, I was last on in the morning, first off in the evening.
Oh.
So
no, that sucks.
That sucks. You don't get to experience anything. Mm-hmm. On my other bus, when I would go to my mom's, I was first on in the morning and last off.
Oh, yeah.
And it was a party. It would be like your giraffe bus.
Uh-huh.
Like, everything. Like you were saying, I mean, there was a sexual battery going on. sexual assault.
Folks were catching charges on this bus.
There was drug use.
Yeah. Oh, we had the best fights.
Yep, there were fights.
Yeah. We had the best fights. It'd be like the kind of like ghetto white girls fighting each other. Funny as shit. And like, I have this, I guess we're still kind of friends, but I ain't talked to him in probably a year.
Name drop in 3, 2, what, you don't have to.
Nah, Josh. I'm just going to say his first name. This dude had a nose fucking.
Was he a Jew?
No, we called him Toucan Sam, though. Well, I did. He had that big.
I'm not being anti-Semitic.
He had that big snorter on him.
That schnoz, man.
Yeah, and he was like the worst about talking shit, just all the time, talking shit.
People that look like that always talk the most shit.
Yeah, just talking shit.
The most shit.
talking all kinds of shit. And this other girl, walked up, and I'm talking about close hand. Punched him in the face like a fucking man.
And the big nose?
Yeah, and started just like wailing on him.
Damn.
And he's like, getting faded on him.
It's like,
and like some other fights too, but that was probably the most memorable.
Yeah.
I feel like the most memorable fight I ever saw in school was this dude. This is in seventh grade now. This dude walks up and just slaps this girl on the ass. She goes, "Ow!" And just fucking jumps on him. And it's, I mean, just hitting them. And what's so funny is our teacher just watched for a good minute. He just stood there and just kind of, male teachers do that. A woman teacher's going to break up the fight immediately, but a male teacher's going to watch it for a good couple seconds.
What if he watched like the whole situation and realized he kind of deserved it a little bit?
Well, what was funny is he was letting her beat him up, but as soon as he like flipped her around, he was like, all right, no more.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's something to that, man. Like, I grew up, like, I have an older brother. He's a year and a half older. And my neighbors, I had four cousins. They were all boys. And, like, we were all, like, 3-4 years within the age. And my dad, uncle, like, if we were playing backyard football or whatever sport was in season and the fight broke out, my uncle or dad would come out, cross their arms, and let it go. Now, if my mom or my aunt came out, screaming, hollering, running out there, going to bust it up immediately. And I think the reason of that, because it's like, they'll get it out. Let them figure out whatever they got to figure out. Then they'll be fine. Mm-hmm. I feel like that, and the way my dad and uncle handled it, always worked better because after it was over, it was over. But like, if you come out there and broke it up, the next snap of the next play, they were gonna get right back into it.
Yes,
right. You didn't let them finish.
That's right.
That's true.
I feel like that's kind of a problem with today's young men. They don't get enough fights.
Just observe it. Make sure.
I'm actually kind of an advocate for bullying. Like I don't.
I feel like it depends on the extent.
I mean, like just like a little name calling and a little teasing and whatnot, it toughens you up.
I feel like you should draw the line when it gets to the point of like personal shit. Like, oh, your mom smokes meth. Then it's like, okay, so a teacher needs to intervene and not let the kids say
that. I mean, all the way this way now is like, we have like an epidemic of like OnlyFans single moms. Their kids in school.
Oh my God.
Jeez. And it's like, hey, here's your mom.
Here's your mom's booty hole.
Right.
I mean, it's fucked
and that,
up.
And that is it's leading to, like, up. Kids, like, having suicidal issues.
That's fucked up. But if that was me, I would go home and yell at my mom so hard.
Me too.
Dude.
It's a problem. That's a real thing.
It's a real
that's
problem.
It's going to become more and more prevalent. Mm-hmm. And I really feel bad for some of those kids.
Yeah.
Because I remember being in school, and the guys who had the hot moms, they caught a lot of hell.
Oh yeah,
because their mom was the first subject at the lunch table.
Yep. Yeah.
So your mom, I saw her this morning. She's hot.
Yeah, but imagine if they did that, but then they also got pictures of her booty hole on their phone.
Yeah,
it's even worse.
What's so funny though is like it all depends on what dad is in the picture and what the dad looks like. Because kids talk all kinds of shit about a hot mom. As soon as they see the giant father, they shut the fuck up.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true.
Then they start, like, hyping him up. So, man, I bet Mr. Greg is laying that pipe on
for real.
Then you go from being bullied to being, like, hyped up.
All right. Yeah.
But, like, if you have
your dad's the man. You must be the man.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, what if your dad's, like, Lydia's fucking brother. Giant and you're, like, tiny?
But they're like, oh, you're going to get there, man. Yeah, you're going to get there, brother.
Gross spurt. Yeah, nobody knows shit in the middle of high school.
No. Yeah.
Yep. I didn't hit much of one, but some people did.
You were just tall. I feel like you were just tall the whole time.
I've probably grown, like, maybe 3 inches since, like, 7th grade.
Because, dude, I mean, it was crazy. I was, like, 4'11 for the longest, and then one day I was a 5'11. I grew, like, a whole foot.
Growing like a weed.
Yeah, I miss that, dude. Every time I would get a little chunky, like I am now, I would hit a growth spurt and it would all level out.
Like stretch out.
Yeah. And I was just thinking that the other night. I was like, man, if I could just
two inches
taller, I'd be all right.
Fresh out.
Yeah. I'm fresh out of inches.
Yeah.
I don't need to get any taller. I'll start looking like damn
Skeletor.
Skeletor. Well, Skeletor was actually buff. He just had a skeleton head.
Oh, well, Minecraft skeleton.
Minecraft.
Be walking around here. You know, noise of
making
noise.
Bone noises.
Yeah. Bone noises in parentheses.
We got some chicken marinating right now, and we'll throw on the grill later. So looking forward to that today.
I meant to ask you about the grilling. I was deeply curious, very invested.
Now, question for you: a conversation. What kind of seasonings do you like to go with, Alan, when you get to cooking?
Well, it depends. Yeah. Man, like with most things, I am very basic, just salt and pepper. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm that way with a steak.
That's fair.
Just salt and pepper?
Yeah, it's a really good steak. It doesn't need that much.
Yeah. I like the
let it speak for itself.
I do exactly that, but I add garlic. I like garlic on my
steak. And like one thing that I've been like learning lately is with the searing of it, is I used to sear first. Like I've been watching like some Michigan star level shit, whatever that means. But
Michigan star. Never mind.
No, it's top tier, right?
Yeah.
And like listen to them talk about like cooking and stuff. Like when it comes, they was like sear last, and they're giving the explanation because I want medium rare at the most.
Me
like,
too.
If I could go to a restaurant and order a steak blue, I would. I mean, that meat's coming out like cold.
Yeah.
And I'd be for that. But like chicken and things like that, barbecuing, man. Yeah, I'm with the seasoning. And it just depends on the situation. Like, are you grilling it or are you putting it in the oven? Because the main thing is, like, frying it. Like, I've been in the frying chicken. Well, the thing that I'm trying to figure out right now is how to have a crispier chicken, but also still have fairly juicy meat and not dry the meat out, too.
It's a tough balance.
I think the best thing to do is marinate it in buttermilk. Like, let it soak in buttermilk overnight.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's what a lot of people do, is soak it in buttermilk.
My dad does it like that.
Yeah. Man, I went to 10 Lizzie's Wednesday with my mom to eat lunch. Mm-hmm. She got chicken tenders and things were fucking gas. They're like the size of this fucking Coors Banquet can.
Yeah, it's like basically huge. Half a chicken breast.
Yeah, they were so good. Ugh.
Yeah. I like to go from grilling. I go with Country Bob's. You know. Pretty much that's my go-to, and that's for marinade, that's for seasoning, and for sauce.
I would need to, we have got, open up two cabinets, that ain't all, then you step over two more cabinets at the house, and that is all the seasonings and different things that we use. I'm talking about, like, we advocated for it.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a mad scientist. Like, if I see something, be like, this is for fish. Be like, not today.
Hey, I was just saying this last night. Old Bay goes on almost everything.
That's a fact.
Yeah. Oh, you can put it on fries. I mean, it's so good.
Get you a pack of Old Bay David sunflower seeds and tell me it ain't good.
Some people sprinkle it, like, on the top of their beer and drink it with their beer.
I can see that.
Old Bay has sunflower seeds?
Like David and even Biggs, like you can buy like the sunflower seed and it's seasoned in Old Bay.
Oh wow, I'm gonna buy that.
It's great.
ASAP.
I love having that kind of lemony hint to like any food. I mean, I'm talking chicken fries. Oh, yeah. It's all good.
I love it in Mexican food though. They'll give you like limes or something on the side. Dude. I squeeze it out on the phone.
They don't give me enough limes on Mexican food. If I get like some carne asada or like a any type of taco, I could put a whole lime over that taco, man.
Getting
hungry.
Street
tacos with carne
asada. All right, so you're absolutely right. Like the shrimp basket, I think there's one in Tuscaloosa would probably be the nearest one.
Yeah, closest one for sure.
A lot of them down in Mobile.
Oh yeah,
love that place. Now all those little seafood shacks and all that, when it comes to their fries, when it comes to the shrimp, when it comes to the fish, when it comes to the chicken, you hit the nail on the head. It's all the same. They're throwing Old Bay on everything.
Mm-hmm.
Old Bay on the fry? Yeah.
Yep.
Old Bay on the chicken, on the fish? Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's what it is.
Good.
Yeah. You like spicy seasonings?
Oh, dude, I'm a fan. Yes.
You ever put some of that slap your mama on that chicken?
I'll slap somebody's mama. that's check this out. Next time you're at Munson Brothers, and whether I'm in the back cooking or not, we have a spice chef at Munson's.
I did not know that.
We, and like our favorite thing is pick a pepper. Mm-hmm. You can get it at Kroger, I think Walmart too. But it's like Jamaican jerk. Ooh. And also, like, they make it hotter with like a mango habanero.
Oh, shit.
Both of those. Like, anything by pick a pepper, go for it. And
that's awesome.
And you'll be talking Jamaican in no time.
Yeah, I like the spice. I got a bottle of Louisiana hot sauce in my nightstand, next to a container of tahini.
Oh, dude, check this out. So at work, everybody, like, I'm
like tahini on my.
I'm a bit of the fat guy myself, dude. At work, when someone needs something, like, I've got jelly packets. I got hot sauce packets. Look, are you on the level I am? Thank you.
Wait, did you keep that on you?
You keep that thing on you.
Yes. I mean, it just happened to be in there, but it could be anything.
Do you keep a disposable fork in your vehicle?
Yeah.
He pulled out a thing of grape jelly for those listening. He pulled out.
Hey, what's that sound? I have a buddy. He always had Tabasco in his trench coat. Always had it on. I think my favorite hot sauce is the Cholula. Mm-hmm.
That's great.
Love that shit.
He's got the guy with the sombrero.
He's got the little wooden knob.
Yeah, you ever had the garlic kind? Mm-mm. Or the salsa verde kind?
I've had that one. That one's
the salsa verde, the green.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I love salsa verde. Man, Taco Bell a couple months ago, they had a salsa verde that you could get on the side, or they had the salsa verde fries. Their salsa verde was so fucking good.
I was just off my colon cleanse. I don't need to go back on it. Taco Bell.
Taco Bell's on its own. The Taco Bell isn't Mexican food. It's its own genre of food.
Yeah, like the new crispy chickenados.
Yeah, that's
like it's fucking nah, dude, like,
what I, the colon cleanse is like, whenever I need to like just clean out, Taco Bell.
Just get you a beef burrito. That's all you need. Yeah. Beefy bean burrito.
Cheesy gordita crunch.
I love those. The cheesy gordita crunch is so good. Get some nacho fries on the side.
Uh-huh. It'll get you right.
My go-to is probably the grilled cheese steak burrito.
That's been a staple lately, and that's one of those things that I know that they're gonna play games with us. They're gonna take it off.
They're gonna take it off
the menu.
And let me tell you the biggest.
They've already done it like two or three times.
And this is what pisses me off about Taco Bell more than anything. They have one of the strongest frozen drink games of any fast food chain. Their slushies are so good, but they will have like one consistent slushie, which is the Baja Blast, and everything else they'll have for like a month at a time, and then they take it away.
Mm-hmm. I do appreciate what they do for Baja.
They have so many other slushies that are better than Baja.
I mean, maybe, but Baja is my favorite Mountain Dew. I really don't drink Mountain Dew unless it's Baja.
I don't either.
That's it for me, too. And I'm still amazed by how many people that's out there has not experienced the Baja Blast.
Mountain Dew hurts my kidneys. I can't drink it too much. Yellow dye.
You look like a kidney.
I know.
You need to buck up.
Your dad looks like someone who would have a...
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Get an 11% rebate at Menards. Rust-Oleum Stops Rust custom 5-in-1 spray paint lets you choose from 5 spray patterns with a twist of the dial. It protects indoor and outdoor metal and wood projects for long-lasting results and is available in more than 40 colors. Get started on your painting project at Menards, number one in customer satisfaction, among home improvement retailers according to J.D. Power. For more information, visit jdpower.com/awards.
Save big money at
Mountain Dew IV.
See, he hates Mountain Dew.
Does it?
My dad's a Dr. Pepper guy.
I would have never pinned him for that. I would have pinned him a Mountain Dew guy.
He's definitely a Dr. He's a Dr. Pepper and Grape Kool-Aid man.
Grape Kool-Aid.
Grape Kool-Aid. I like the cherry Kool-Aid, honestly.
I like the grape and I like the blue.
You know, like that. What is it? Country Time?
Oh, yeah.
Country Time lemonade?
Yeah. Lemonade, that pink sour, that's probably the best one.
Yeah.
Country Time. Hey, Cameron. You want to get me a beer, please?
Yeah, I got you.
I wouldn't wait for you to get up. I was about to do it, but I was really fighting. I didn't want to. Appreciate you, baby.
Well, dude, what's the latest and greatest? What is going on with Knights of the Dad Table?
Yeah, I feel like you meant to ask us that about 45 minutes ago.
Yeah, just looking at the timer.
Thank you, darling.
Hey, I love a good intro.
Yeah,
a good 45-minute intro.
Knights of the Dad Table, so... Yeah.
Episode 25?
Yeah, so I guess probably by the time this drops, we'll be about the same time, roughly, Probably by the time y'all hear this, we'll have released our 25th episode of Knights of the Dad Table.
Congratulations. And that's the hope, you know.
Yeah. Every milestone, kind of like, okay, we made it here. What's next? You know, what's the next goal?
We've been talking about getting a lot more guests on since we've gotten pretty much the whole lineup in the friend group on a couple times.
Yeah. We're going to try to start getting more people on. We've already talked to a lot of different people that we want to get on here. And, on Knights of the Dad Table. So we've hit number 25 just about. So it's rolling. You know how it goes when you're trying to start it up. And I actually just experimented the first time this week with running an ad. It did increase a little bit of, it was weird. I did a little Instagram ad. It's like a $10 for 2 days. I just wanted to test it out, see what it could do. I can't say that it really did what I wanted it to do in terms of more profile views, which it's is kind of like, you have different options you can pick. I tried to guess more profile views. Ended up with a lot of people from all over the country. Which is cool, but you kind of set it to what I set it to do was is to market it to timelines that were similar to the followers I already had.
Yeah,
which is predominantly going to be men in Mississippi.
Can you add a like a voice clip to it, or like a audio file, or like a video or something to it?
To
like the ad,
you can make an ad out of any post. You can.
Yeah, let's just say Knights of the Dad Table, the Instagram post, whatever it is. You could have a 30-second snippet of the very best of what you thought y'all had to offer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then the post could say whatever. You put the ad out, and then it targets people who would be into that.
Yeah. I don't know that it really did that this time, but. Really, all it really did was get more likes on that post.
It still is, good.
Likes, comments, especially when it comes to social media, that's a big part. People sharing your stuff, that's the biggest thing. Running a band page or a business page, whatever else is. I'm huge on this, Jake Cameron. I mean, y'all probably know this as well as I do. If I'm playing a venue. And let's say it's this coming Friday. And I make a post Monday or Tuesday, be like, hey, I'll be playing at this venue from 7 to 10. Love to see y'all. If it's in a city I've never been, I'm farting in the wind.
Yep.
The odds of everyone on my fan or friend group or fan page, if they're following the band page, are they going to drive 2-3 hours to go see? Maybe. I doubt it.
Hell no.
So then I go over to the venue page. Crickets. I'm going to play that show with them, and that's going to be it. Because I was like, you're not doing your job.
Yeah. It's supposed to promote you a little bit.
Well, I mean, you got live music. Would you like to talk about it a little bit? I mean, we've never been there before.
So you mean as in the venue didn't even post anything about you being there?
Right. We're not even mentioned.
That's
a waste of time.
Or if they do post it, I think they could do a better job at because I think venues can do a better job at promoting who's going to be there and kind of getting people excited.
It's a win-win. It's not a win-win for the artists.
Makes them money.
Just back to the what's going on in Columbus And we don't always do the best job at Munson's, but we try to put out flyers each week for whoever's playing Friday night, or even with the open mics. Because we've been doing the open mic for a year and a half, 2 years, and people still can't keep it straight. Which Thursday is which, So that's a failure on our part. But we're beginning to create different I think we put Noah Carter. He played. Last night, and I think the Facebook ad that we made, we put them up on top of a mountain or something, and we're being a little goofy.
When you do goofy, funny shit, I've noticed that gets the most likes. When I used to, we all ran the old band page, but the main thing I would do is I'd just, crop our heads and put it on different memes and just do little shit like that. Those are always the posts that got the most likes.
Yeah, it's cool. Yeah. But I mean, like, also, like, with the podcast, like, with Instagram or even Twitter, like, the way I handle Porch Talk on Twitter is I'll share the episode, Spotify version, and then if there's a YouTube version. And then I might retweet it on my personal. Most of the time I don't. My personal is for my personal shit. I don't try to deviate.
Dabble.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let the two, like, be separate. But then, like, Instagram is, like, mostly it's just in my stories. And then every now and then, like, I'll make a reel because, like, there is no sense in just taking a picture and posting it to Instagram anymore because that's not where the algorithm lies. Mm-hmm. It's all in the reel. And even if it's a still photo, like, let's just say that you were interviewing
That's a good point. I didn't even think of that.
If you're interviewing a musician or whomever you're talking about, that just take a picture of them, add music to it, add Whiskey Myers, whatever, you know, and make it a reel. And then the traction you see off that, that's dividends.
Reels and TikTok is the way to get exposure.
Yeah.
In the social media realm, two ways about it.
You brought up that how you split it, like, split it up. You have one page for one thing, one page for another. You know, Instagram for us, that's our platform. And with you brought up Twitter, how Twitter's more your space to see what's going on in a bigger.
That's where I go to learn information,
right?
Real information.
You know, that's why I didn't create a really Twitter page for this because it's. I noticed the Twitter algorithm a lot. It doesn't work in that way. Of
oh, dude, I can show you. Like, Porch Talk post. Mm-hmm. Like, when I post, like, this episode, like, next week. Mm-hmm. And then if there was a YouTube, like, there is no sense. Like, on Twitter, if you just share a YouTube, like, the way their codes work, you share a YouTube video, all you will see is, like, the link. You don't have, like, the hyperlink.
Yeah, it's not.
You know, the attractive, like, thumbnail to...
Yeah.
Grab your attention. You have to put it in the comment.
Yeah.
So, like, you create the Spotify link, which kind of looks good. It's got your logo and the name of the episode, and then link below for the YouTube video, and then it's got your sharp little thumbnail of everybody laughing, carrying on, having a good time.
Yeah, Facebook and Instagram are better about it, and that's why I thought about doing a Facebook, but...
Facebook will bury you. Like, when you make your own page, the hardest part is... building your audience.
Yeah.
And Facebook will help you with that. They want you to succeed, but once you start getting to around 1,000 to where you can monetize on Facebook, then they start taking shit away from you. And then they want you to start spending money with them.
Fucking Zuckerberg.
Yeah.
You can't blame the guy.
I mean, he makes your money, but I don't like him personally.
And I mean, and I've had issues on my personal, and I've had issues, and I mean, he owns Instagram too. I've had, like, posts taken down on Instagram and Facebook that was Porch Talk related, and, like, saying that it was sexual in nature and it was borderline pornography. It was neither.
Yeah. Maybe they just, like, saw your face and, like, man, that's
a sexy guy. That's what I was thinking, Mr. Cherry. Thank you.
Can't have him out here selling that.
I can't help that I gave you a boner, Zuckerberg. Yeah. But I didn't do anything wrong.
Sorry, Mr. Stuck.
I can't help that we're both into blacksmithing in Japan. Did y'all see that?
Oh,
man. That goofball was over there with a hammer in Japan, like, crafting his own katana. And I was like... What do you do when you make billions of dollars and you never spend it all?
I'm kind
of
jealous. I'd love to do that.
Well, before that, did you see the viral video of him at the UFC event looking like he was, like, waiting in line to go to a bathroom?
Yes, I did.
It looked like he was trying to figure out how to interact as a normal human being.
No idea.
At least I feel like he's spending money on interesting things, not, you know, going on a tour in a submarine to see the debris of the Titanic.
Woo! Shots fired.
I'm sorry, but that's a stupid way to spend your money.
Honestly, it sounds like it'd be pretty cool.
Well, dude, let me ask you this.
It's really, it's deep, like, down, though.
You have more money than you could ever spend in the world. Why would you not want to go see where your grandma is under the ocean?
My grandma isn't under the ocean.
There supposedly was.
You're like, okay, I didn't know that part.
Granny?
I didn't know that.
Don't you play?
I didn't know.
Hold up, Phil.
Hey, I didn't know they were. I'm about to get crushed like a tin can. Hold on.
I'm gonna get twisted.
I didn't know that they were.
I'm relatives. I'm just hypothetical. Just hypothetical.
Now, I guess in that case, then yeah, I would like to see my relatives. And I've always wanted to go in a submarine, but you know, they told them multiple times.
I mean, how many people said this is a shit idea? Yeah. How many?
A lot, I'm sure.
A lot of people told him this is a horrible. I mean, I understand the fun of wanting to go in a submarine. I've always wanted to do that, but not that low.
Because what's crazy to me, you can buy like commercial submarines that are built to go that deep. And wasn't the guy like doing this like a millionaire?
He was more than a millionaire.
Yeah. Just buy a submarine. What's the point of making your own and risking your life like that?
I mean, that was his whole stick, though.
Building submarines.
I'm and also, he took his son. Who apparently did not want to go on that trip.
Oh, man.
I feel bad for him.
Dang.
He was just like, this is lame. I don't want to go.
He was the right one in the bunch.
The victim.
Yeah, sure.
Damn, I want to go on the submarine you built. You're going to get in the damn submarine. We're going to go see the Titanic.
Well, he was practically had to guilt trip the guy into doing it. It was the equivalent of like, the first and only cruise I ever went to, I was guilt tripped into going on a cruise with my dad. And now hindsight, like our first stop was Jamaica. Now one thing, happy birthday in heaven to my father. But one thing y'all would need to know about my old man was he was a pothead. And so we left New Orleans and day and a half out in the sea and you wake up and you're in Jamaica. And we wake up and they're giving us all the instructions and I go to the meeting and I'm reading through and like one of the first things in red at the top is do not try to buy weed in Jamaica. You will end up in Jamaican jail. And I was like, Dad said the moment he steps off port in Jamaica, he's buying weed. I'm not even going to tell him. And so like we end up in different lines and so like I'm going on this excursion up the mountain to go like Jamaican bobsledding and eat jerk chicken and all this and that. Oh, yeah. And he's in the other line where he's just like freelancing. Oh, yeah. And I remember like us getting separated and like in the line and like he's in a wheelchair cause like he busted. This is another thing that where the trip went to shit real quick. Dude, we were on the cruise ship maybe for 15 minutes, headed to our room, and there's a wet floor, and Dad bust his ass. And he's trying to play out some insurance scam the whole time, so he's in a wheelchair.
That sign up?
It, by the way, he wasn't that mobile anyway. He wasn't that healthy, and so it may have, like, I thought it was an insurance scam. It may have been legit, but... Like I thought that was funny. Like seeing him wheel out of the Jamaican port and this Jamaican cab driver like hop right behind him and start pushing him right to the cab. And I heard verbatim as we were separating, as I was face punning, was, "What do you want the gourmand? I want to smoke that green." And I was like, I'll have to figure out how to get him out of Jamaican jail. I don't know.
Did he ever get his hands on it?
When I got back from the excursion, like they waited, the crews waited for us. We were late getting back, but the promise when you go on these, you know, you spend a little extra money on the cruise, you go on these excursions, and you don't get left behind because, I mean, you go as a big group and everybody has to be back on the boat before you leave unless you dick off and you're like freelancing like my dad. But, our group was last to get back, and like we were like 30, 45 minutes of leaving port. The moment I get up the steps to our floor, to our side of the ship, a big old whiff of something hits me right upside the nose.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, that crazy son of a bitch. He did it. And I get back to the room, and I swing open the door, and he's like, "Welcome back, bud." In the whole room, it looks like Cheech and Chong. It's just smoked out. And I was like, "Dad, I can smell that like down the hall." And he said, "It's Jamaica. Who gives a fuck?" And I was like, "We're on a boat now. This ain't Jamaica no more." But like, by the way, I do want to smoke. But tell me about how all this went down. And he's like, dude, it was no fucking problem. He's like, you'd be surprised about how much you can get away with when you're in a wheelchair.
That's genius.
Nah, I ain't paying the 50.
That's genius.
That is awesome.
I'm not paying
Come on, man, I'm crippled.
I'll give you $25.
Yeah, I promise I got a car.
He bought so much. And we were, after Jamaica, it was like another night at sea, and you would wake up and you were at the Cayman Island, and then you were back on the boat, then another night at sea, and you were, I think, in Mexico the following day, and then the following day you would be back and at New Orleans at the port. And I don't recall after Jamaica us leaving the room other than to go to the buffet.
Damn.
We were just blitzed, and like it just so happened, like our person who was coming in, like bring fresh towels and tidy up the room, he was Jamaican too, and he thought it was funny. He's like, y'all got that good, huh? I was like, yeah,
that good.
You want some? He's like, I can't. And I was like, you can.
It's right here.
You totally can.
Absolutely.
But I understand it. But yeah, it's he had gotten so much. Like, I remember, like, we were pulling up the Mississippi to go back to port, and like me and him, like, fuck, and just slinging that, like, practically like half an ounce over the side of the ship.
Oh,
I mean, because there was no way you were gonna get through customs with
Absolutely.
That ship.
No, yeah. No way. I hate to hear that.
That's but I mean, like, what he paid for it and, like, all the mileage that we got out of it.
It's still worth the money.
Oh, hell yeah, dude. I remember, like, when we got to Mexico and I stepped out, I was hired in fucking Cooter Brown. And, like, my excursion had gotten canceled. We were supposed to go to some Mayan ruins. I told Dad, I was like, I'm about to get really stoned, and I hope it's just like that movie Ruins, to where they're, like, there's some fucking weed shit going on. But I'm going to be the fucker that wins. And, like, that excursion got canceled, and so I was just, like, fucking off in, like, Cozumel. And after I had went to, like, two or three bars and restaurants and, like, was having drinks and, like, just talking to locals and other people on the boat, I was like, oh, this is cool, but I think I'd rather just go back to the room and just get fucking stoned with my dad.
Imagine you get off the boat and you're so high, and, like, in your head, you're like Indiana Jones. I have to go find the crystal skull.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I was thinking.
You go
on
a whole,
like,
adventure.
Yeah, when we're going to the ruins, it's like, this is, like, I've got a bag of weed that has got to equate to the same weight as this golden head.
You're out there, like, looking out for booby traps that aren't there.
Oh, yeah, but they're there.
That's like... That's
just like, on a whole adventure, dude. Yeah.
I don't know how we got off on that tangent, but I'm glad we did. I've never told that story.
That's so funny, man.
That's a good one.
Yeah. I think it's the funniest thing, like, going back to the wheelchair. Like, I don't know about your dad. My dad's, like, a real strong, like, man's man. And I'll see him bust his ass, and it's, like, the funniest shit ever. Well, I mean, like, growing up, I'm, like, scared of this man.
Well, check this out,
Austin. I see him, like, a complete ass of himself.
As we get older, and, I mean, I'm sure you're already, like, considering this, but, like, especially, like, and I hear that I don't have kids, but when you have kids, there are two things you do as a man that you never want your offspring to see you do. Number one is fall. and number two is fail.
Yep.
Yeah,
I've seen my dad do some funny.
Cause like
shit.
There is something to it, like when you see like an older guy kind of like losing his way and then busting his ass, especially if it was a fight against gravity itself.
Kind of wobbly. Cause yeah. I'm literally 24. My dad's like 70.
Yeah.
My dad's old. He was like 45 or something when I was born.
My dad's like 64.
So yeah.
He's like straight like gray from the neck. And, I mean, I ain't seen the rest of it. Not in a long time, anyhow. But gray from like neck up, and I've seen him like we'll be in the boat like trot lining or something, and he'll like slip and like oh, like half catch himself. I remember this one time we were boiling crawfish, and he like picked up the bucket and like tipped over, and boiled water and poured all.
Is your dad Bill Dance?
No.
Is it kind of that same thing?
Sort of. Wow. Like when he closes the fishing rod with the tail, oh, dead gum. My dad gives a lot more profanity.
Yeah.
When he poured that boiling water on his boots and he didn't have it, like it soaked through his boots and hit his feet, he was like, motherfucker, my arm!
fuck shit! He's like ripping his boots off, like running through the yard.
Seeing your dad or granddad wrestle with a water hose has got to die. What
a water hose. God damn it. Yeah. Son of a bitch.
I am. Oh, man, that's good.
That kind
of
reminds me.
Or he's out there, like, working on the lawnmower.
Yeah.
God, that's a piece of shit.
That's the sorriest son of a bitch driver. I promise you that.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, they say it runs like a deer. I ain't buying another one of these sorry motherfuckers.
I'll tell you, funniest. My grandpa, he was my dad's dad. He was a shade tree mechanic. And I remember it was after school. He was big on me, like, doing all the routine maintenance on my truck, which hindsight now I'm very thankful for. Well, I had this truck for maybe 6 months and practically got it off the lot, practically new, little Ford Ranger. At that time, vehicles were affordable.
Yeah.
Good luck now.
Ford Ranger's a damn good truck.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Ford Ranger? I know that truck. I ain't no stranger. Yeah. That's a Ford motherfucking Ranger.
That's it. And so we put the grass was a little slick. It had rained like earlier that day, and I had a friend of mine with me, and after school, and I was like, dude, I've been putting it off, and he's not gonna let it put off. I've got to change my oil today. Then we can play Halo or whatever else it was that we were gonna be doing that evening. He's got the oil racks set up in the grass in the backyard, and I'm going to pull up. Well, lose traction. Well, I hit the gas a little bit. Go up the ramps, over the oil ramps, pop up, and like, you know, hit the undercarriage up underneath the door, spike those up, and then it's hard to get the doors open. And all I hear is my grandpa laughing his ass off, and I'll never forget his cadence. You done fucked them now. How you gonna get out of that?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and I was like.
That's like one of the smartest comments you ever said to him comes back to you.
Yeah, everything I'd ever said is like laying at my feet at this point. And my buddy, he just looks over there at me and he was like, yeah, bud, you're fucked. And he finally gets his door open and he is laughing his ass off. And he's like, I can't believe I hang out with this guy. And I was like, man, my grandpa used to lay it on me like that, dude.
He like calls his mom. He's like, mom, when you ride home.
Man, it's like, I don't want to hang out with this guy anymore.
it's like, I can't. There's some grandpas you just can't stand to bring your friends around, or your girlfriend for that matter, because all they do is like talk shit about you to them the whole time. Like, he ain't worth a fuck.
You know? Yeah.
He don't do shit.
It's either that or they're looking at her butt.
Yeah. Like, stop.
I feel bad because like they're old, probably ain't had none in like 20 years.
Yeah, they'll give you that little tap, like you said. They start pointing, just like they'll do that little head nod, like a little thumbs up.
You're doing something.
A little sign of approval.
Or if you're not with somebody,
they wasn't that thick back in my day.
I tell you what, we'd be at the beach with Granddad. We'd be up on the balcony. He'd be out there. He's looking.
He's scouring.
He tapped me. He said, how about you go get that one over there, down there, and just start describing her. He'd be like, I'm like, oh, I don't know about that. And then he'd just keep looking. There's one down there.
My dad will do that to me.
Go see.
Any girl that, you know, we see that's around my age, he's like, there you go.
There you go.
There you go.
Or if he'll find, like, some random woman. This woman could live, like, 18 hours away, but it's like some famous guitar, you know, influencer on Instagram, he'll be like,
you seen her?
Yeah.
You seen her? That's so funny, dude. That's with Shangulis is he's all aroused right now.
Oh my God.
But like going back to like Gilly and Keeves on YouTube, their Uncle Daycare.
Mm-hmm.
And like the first sketch within that is with like Tommy Pope, and he's in a neck brace. I think he had, like, this is pre-sketch, but I'm pretty sure he had gotten harassed by dad. And it's a picture of like high school cheerleaders. And it's like, okay, Uncle Tommy, are these girls of age? And he's just, well, I don't know, so. I'm gonna guess no. He's like, good job, Uncle Tommy. Good job. He
looks at you all wide eyed.
Yeah. Like, oh, the new joke. The new joke he told.
This is a trap.
The recent joke he told about how every little boy is just their mom's gay best friend.
On Saturday Night Live. Because, like, and I saw, like, that he got some backlash about that.
But that is so true.
Well, I mean, he's shopping with my mom.
He broke the barrier. Like, when's the last time you heard gay or retard on television?
Long time.
It's been a minute.
But it was all the rave in the 90s.
Yeah.
Here's the thing.
Everything was gay.
In, like, the 80s, like, faggot was like the number one word in the 80s.
It still is, baby.
Here's why.
We're keeping her alive.
This is why he gets away with it, though. He never punches down.
That's it.
He never punches down.
He reflects it back to his family.
Yeah, he reflects
it
back to
himself.
Because he said, I was my mom's gay best friend.
He always talks about it like an admiration. When he talks about people with Down syndrome, it's always like nothing but good things. And he was on a podcast one time, and I can't remember who it was. I think it was Andrew Schultz. But he said, like, something shitty about people with Down syndrome, and he was just like, dude, what the fuck is wrong with you? Like, he don't play about that shit if you're joking about it.
Well, his sister is Down syndrome.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I got new about it.
I mean, and that's why, like, he's like, I'm sure y'all can tell by looking at me. He usually opens, like, I think with Beautiful Dogs, the Netflix special he did, he opened with that. I think he did it on his SNL monologue, too. Yeah. He's like, y'all can probably tell by looking at me that I had to fight, like, this right here to dodge Down syndrome.
I love what he says about, like, I think he said he was volunteering for the Special Olympics, and, like, the kids with Down syndrome were playing basketball. And he's like, they're the coolest dudes ever. They're like, titties.
And John Cena.
You're the coolest guys I know.
Real talk, like, if you reflected on last year, like, I couldn't even count all the television shows that Down syndrome people had, but also, like, of all people groups that won in 2023, name a group that did better.
You're right.
They had beauty queens. Look at Ice Spice. I mean, she's one of the hottest. She's missing a chromosome.
For sure.
She is.
I don't know. I just know she got a commercial with Ben Affleck. That's got to be a win.
Missing at least half of them.
She got that thing, man.
You ain't even the flock. I'd be going hard. That does sound like a little.
I love
all the Instagram comments. If she's down, I'm down.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Send your damn money up.
Yeah. Yep. See, try your best to name a group that won harder. And I'm telling you, I think it may be their year again this year in an even bigger way.
Going back to back, maybe?
Back to back champions. I mean, they're the Alabama people groups.
And I think Shane Gillis, as a troop, he did a great deal to that.
Yeah.
Oh, Shane Gillis. He's so fucking funny. They're like super relatable.
The shit about the gay best friend, I feel like, not with that joke, I feel like that joke was brilliant because I feel like, in a way, he didn't mean to, but I feel like he accidentally, like, disproved a lot of the shit Sigmund Freud said with that joke. And I know that sounds a little
too deep. Elaborate on that a little bit.
Okay, so the relationship he was describing of a little boy and his mother is something that Freud would describe as a sexual connection you have to your mother. But he made it innocent. He made it innocent and funny, which is... I related to that, but, you know, you hear Freud talk about your first crush as a little boy is your mother or your sister. I'm like, that's fucking bullshit. But what he described was actually what I think it is, and it's like, that's just your best friend. That's your homegirl.
Mm-hmm.
Like, y'all would paint each other's nails.
I don't know about all that. I don't think we did that.
But I don't know. I don't think it's that far of a stretch, because I would say with the Sigmund Freud thing, to where, like, if you were going to take the psychology of it, you're going to say everything. You were dreaming about hot air balloons, so you were thinking about titties. It must have been your mom's breast.
Yeah.
That's a little far for me.
Yeah, exactly.
Quite a connection there, buddy. Yeah.
Exactly.
At least not my mom's tits.
Damn. What I'm saying, what he was describing in that joke, the psychology that Freud would describe would make it a sexual connection. Yeah. I don't know if you ever listened to the shit Freud has said, but it's pretty whack.
That's weird, because I'm the youngest of three brothers. Like, my mom had nothing but boys, and she wanted a girl so bad. Like, because she's told me if I ever have a daughter, that's going to be, like, the most spoiled bitch ever. So, like me being her, one of her boys, and especially being the youngest, she's always, like, kind of babied me. And, like, I went shopping with her all the time. We'd go out to eat, to lunch, and just have a good, great old gay time.
Yeah. Take you to the movies.
Yeah,
go to Donut Factory.
I'd watch Ellen with her.
Yeah.
Fucking The Voice and stuff.
When was the last time you had your testosterone checked? You're probably all right.
I think I'm pretty good.
Me good.
It's like solid. You're it's good. Like a whole sheet.
Yeah. Austin is showing
it's from tip to butt, homie.
Austin's showing his Robin Williams level of body hair.
Yeah, I got a lot. Now
if you were playing Skyrim, you would consider it light armor.
I'm the fucking dragonborn, homie. Dova King, pimp.
That made me remember what we were talking about.
Watching me play that game, you know I'm him, because I fucking kill everybody.
That made me remember what we were talking about earlier. I would love to LARP, but not with the LARPing crowd. Just like I love to play D&D, but not with like a regular D&D crowd. Like I want like us to like make our own LARPing game and like get a bunch of other people. Let's get Mark involved.
Like South Park.
I would let Mark be the rule master.
I would too.
he's the grand wizard.
And then he'd look at
a situation. Well, you know, just see how the chips fall.
I mean, honestly, like if you don't make it pretentious, the idea of LARPing sounds so fun.
Yes,
I would love to do that. We can do it at the big soccer field.
I wish we had Renaissance fairs like close to us.
I wish we had a medieval times.
Yeah, that'd be so cool.
What knight would you pull for?
There's like different knights you pull for.
You got the red one. Yellow,
oh yeah,
green.
But I know what you're talking about.
Yeah,
probably red.
Yeah,
me too.
Probably red. You ever like looked into like military LARPing? There's people who like dress up in tactical gear and like run like operations.
They call that paintball gun.
most of them got real guns.
Oh, well, see, I've heard of that with the
but
Civil
it,
War.
But it's kind of like training, sort of like you know, like in the Constitution, Second Amendment, keep a well and regulate the militia. It's kind of people like kind of honoring that. To where they do training to be prepared in case stuff happens.
I see those groups around here is like their probably slogan is "The South will rise again."
Yeah. They had like a pistol training course in Caledonia, like I think it was run by the gun store in Caledonia, like I think back in November. And my friend Justin went and he said these motherfuckers suck with a pistol. Like with Glock 19, 17, whatever, like shooting pistols at targets. Mm-hmm. And he said these motherfuckers couldn't hit the broadside of a barn. They were terrible. They need to practice more and take some of that gear off.
I bet those are like the biggest like artillery nuts though, or the ones that can't fucking shoot shit.
Well, no.
Not all of them, but like, you know.
Artillery takes precision. You got to do elevation calculations as far as windage. Because, I mean, artillery, instead of shooting something from here to that, from here to, you know, the wall, you're shooting something 20 miles away. You gotta be on top of it. That's like why a forward observer is really important, because they'll like see where the artillery lands and call back to the artillery position. It's like you need to go a couple clicks south.
Hell yeah,
keep going.
I mean, I kind of like military stuff too. So I'd be interested in some military LARPing, but I'd make sure I was accurate with. I'd make sure I was good with my guns first before I like put on all the gear and like went running around in the woods.
I think I want to put together like an Avatar The Last Airbender LARPing, like get all the nations together, like somebody be a different one group, Fire Nation, one group the Waterbenders.
I don't know about you, but long as I was like coming out and I was watching it for the first time, I'd be like in my yard picking up dirt and like throwing it.
You go to a
creek, I can't tell you like how many times like when we were coming up watching Dragon Ball Z or even like how many times I see it viral all the time. This would be a better example. Is let's say like this was falling and Cameron was like caught it, and then next thing you know, Cameron's over there is like he's checking to see if he is in fact Spider-Man. But it turns out you just had a real good reflex moment, dude. You're not Spider-Man. But hey, we're not going to rule that out. There's a lot of things people think they are that they're not nowadays.
That's true. I'm talking like Toby in that one scene where she's trying to get the webs to come out. He's like, fly, up, up, and away web.
Yeah. have you ever seen those videos? Like, people will come into like places and like record.
Go,
and, like,
go,
people
go.
Will stop and like, you can't record in here. It's like, he identifies as a camera. Checkmate. That's so hilarious.
Yep.
That's 4D chess. After.
Yeah, guys, I would like to put a pin right here, and if y'all have time, I'd like to come right back to it. But can we wrap this up as the first one?
Yes.
Knots of the Dad Table. Plug away.
At NOTDpod on Instagram, Knights of the Dad Table on Spotify. Check us out, and if you like what you hear, you know, give us a 5-star rating on Spotify, and follow the Instagram page at NOTDpod. Updates on new episodes and new guests and new topics. So
We'd love to see you.
Yeah, love to have y'all check us out. So appreciate you having us on today, Alan.
Man,
yes,
sir. I always have a ball with y'all fellas.
Likewise.
Great addition. Austin, I am pointing you out. It's the first time I hung out with you.
We've met a little bit.
On the mic.
But just like a little meet and greet. And I'm like, right, I'm going to go drink over here. We'll catch up later. Yeah. I'll come back about two degrees more drunk. And we'll see how that goes. Yeah.
Well, anyway, boys, we'll be right back.
Lightning and thunder,
father, every son and daughter, then we could save somebody. Glass people cut deep.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.